Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 25th, 2020. Coronavirus in Midland. Doctor, open economy requires protection. By Stuart Doran. At the beginning of the month, Midland County ranked tied for 51st among the counties in the state for the number of coronavirus cases. The Texas Department of State Health Services website on Wednesday showed Midland was 34th. And Dr. Summer Merritt told the Reporter Telegram this week that if the number of cases continues at the same rate, we will have a problem. Merritt joined Dr. Larry Wilson, Chief Medical Officer for Midland Health, in stating an appreciation for a more open economy, but that Midland County residents have to be proactive in protecting themselves and others against the spread of COVID-19. It is clear Texas is being hit with its first wave of coronavirus cases, said Merritt, who led the Protect the Frontline effort this spring to get more information out to Midlanders about the coronavirus and its impact on residents and medical workers. We did not see this type of community spread before. We need to buckle down now before we can even think about adding flu season to this. The number of coronavirus cases has jumped from 129 before the beginning of the month to 494 on Wednesday. The Midland Health Department also added new single-day records on three straight days. Friday had 35, Tuesday 37, Wednesday 40, and a total of 95 cases, which included those from the weekend, announced Monday. Merritt called it an exponential rise in cases. People don't change behaviors until it hits home, Merritt said. Now it is hitting home. She said people have become lax in their social distancing efforts and mask wearing. She states that younger people, especially frontline workers in residents, in restaurants and retail, are exposed more often. Merritt said the increase in the number of cases in younger people is alarming, in that many can be asymptomatic and able to pass the virus without knowing, to more vulnerable populations. She said community leaders need to be clearer in their message that masks work and about the need for residents to wear masks. All the data is there, Merritt said. Heading into Wednesday, more than 30% of all confirmed coronavirus cases were among those between the ages of 20 and 29, according to the Midland Health Department. Those in the 30 to 39 age group had the second most cases, 17.40%. Age ranges between 0 and 19, 40 to 49, and 50 to 59 rounded out the top five. Merritt said many of those she sees in her practice are opting to stay elsewhere, such as Colorado, where masks are required in public facilities. She said that people don't feel safe in Midland. If there was any time to be alert, it is right now, Merritt said. Our economy does need to be open, but open in a safer manner than it is now. Lastly, Merritt said Texans should reconsider their habits as medical facilities become overwhelmed with testing requests and possibly facility space. She said some testing facilities are booked for 3 days. The time it takes to get results is growing, and that even a children's hospital in Houston is admitting adult patients to free up beds. There have been more than 24,420 confirmed cases in Harris County and 17,740 in Dallas County. The most of any West Texas counties are 2,838 in Potter County, which is in the Amarillo area, and 1,547 in Lubbock County. We have to figure out a way to live our lives but protect ourselves and our community, Merritt said. MISD, oil industry worker to run for MISD board. Matt Galindo is candidate for District 1 seat by Stuart Doran. Matt Reyes Galindo doesn't believe Midland ISD representatives are listening to their constituents and is running for school board to change that. Galindo told the Reporter Telegram this week he will run for District 1, a seat currently occupied by James Fuller. The election, one of four school board seats on the ballot, will take place in November. District 1 is in East Midland. It is bordered by Loop 250 to the north and includes areas around the following campuses: Milam Elementary, Lee Freshman High School, Peace Communications and Technology, Coleman High School, General Tommy Franks Elementary, the former Crockett Elementary, Washington STEM Academy, and Carver Center. It's definitely time for a change, especially in District 1, Galindo said. Currently, the only meetings that are being held is when the MISD boards and leadership need a vote and need some type of support. And if the objective of a school board trustee is to represent the visions and the values of the community, he or she will have to actually meet with the community to know what those visions and values are. Galindo said he was inspired to run by the school board's canvassing of the November 2019 school board vote, knowing there were 800 ballots missing. He also cited a plea by Fuller calling for residents of District 1 to get involved. The 32-year-old Galindo noted that Fuller has been on the board since 1988, as long as Galindo has been alive. "I just think that District 1 needs a new vision," he said. Academic performance will be the main topic for Galindo's candidacy. He said current board and district leadership hasn't made the progress needed, with the number of failing schools increasing from 4 in 2018 to 9 in 2019. Failing schools in District 1 include Peace and Washington STEM. Galindo, who grew up in East Midland and is a product of Midland Public Schools, said school performance is another area where the district is not shooting straight with residents, pushing a school performance framework that doesn't match what the TEA offers. As if to say the district does not have an issue with academic achievement. Galindo said he is not running as part of a political action group, but will take his cues from the District 1 residents and MISD families. He said he hasn't cared for school politics, including being labeled as part of school district opposition by supporters of the November school bond. He said that as a parent of four children, the notion that he is against the district is ridiculous because if the district fails, my children fail, he said. As a representative, he wants to hear all sides, not just one that echoes MISD leadership. My main focus is trying to get folks as involved, Galindo said. At the same time, it's letting them know and letting the board know that District 1 does care about their children and that we want them to have the best education possible. Galindo is the first person to reach out to the Reporter Telegram about a school district board candidacy. The oil and gas industry worker said he expects November's elections to be a referendum on current board leadership and Superintendent Orlando Riddick. There's quite a bit of folks that are thinking about running, Galindo said, and one of the reasons is because we believe that we're not in agreement to where the state of education is here in Midland, and we want to hold him, Riddick, accountable. And it's just not him, it's central office. We need to go back to the days when the school board was there to represent the people in their districts and not central office and the superintendent. The school board has to work with the superintendent, not for the superintendent. And to do that, Galindo wants to be a representative that he said does not condemn folks for not being involved. I want teachers and I want parents to understand that he isn't running for PACs, but for the people of Midland, Galindo said. I want to be the board member that represents them. Economy. Bread baker turns hobby into business. By J.C. Lewis. Baking bread started as a hobby for Lindsay Martin. 3 years later, the self-taught baker became selling her loaves of bread through Instagram. She now makes about 16 loaves a week in her 150 square foot kitchen. When I first started, I hadn't been doing any wheat or grains for a long time, but I was doing a lot of research about sourdough and how good it is for your health and your gut, she said. I would give it away to my friends, and they would tell me, I need to sell this. Martin is a stay-at-home mom of one son, 1.5-year-old Jackson. She is originally from Colorado and lived in North Dakota before her husband, Reese, was transferred to Midland in 2016. She bakes everything from sourdough loaves to braided sweetbread. She has experimented and developed some recipes, but started with recipes from Vanessa Kimball, who runs the Sourdough School. Martin said her favorite part about baking has been watching the dough's transformation at each stage of baking. I think the transformation process is crazy because it was just a mass of flour before, Martin said. Then come tomorrow, I will dump them out to bake and score them. Then put them in the oven, and you take them out in an hour and 15 minutes later, and they are magical and beautiful. She usually starts preparing the dough on Monday and then bakes the loaves on Tuesdays and Wednesday, which are also the days when orders are picked up. Martin says she is very particular about the flour she uses. Her favorite flour is from Barton Springs Mill outside of Austin. While businesses were shut down and supplies were limited during the pandemic, she had to stop baking for about a month because she couldn't find flour and didn't want to buy all of the flour she did find. From the end of March to the 1st of April, I could barely find flour at the store, she said. I was ordering from Barton Springs Mill and making some for our family, but it was a little hard to sustain. Martin said her family has different favorites. Jackson loves sourdough pancakes. Her husband loves the cinnamon braided loaves. And she loves the classic sourdough loaf. She said baking bread makes her happy. I love baking it and I love sharing it with people, Martin said. Reese has been very supportive about her baking endeavor. She said he posts on Instagram while she is baking bread. They have talked about upgrading kitchen appliances and possibly buying a trailer for a to-go bakery. She sells her loaves for $10 each and takes orders on her Instagram Loaves Midland. Just meeting a bunch of people in our community that I wouldn't have naturally bumped into otherwise is probably my favorite thing, Martin said. I wanted to start it just if there was a possibility of being able to share with other people something that I love so much and our family loves so much. Want to buy fresh bread? For more information, visit Instagram.com/loaves_Midland. Midland-based artist to showcase new collection by J.C. Lewis. Midland artist and photographer Kayla Barker will be showcasing her first full collection of artwork today at her home studio. European Summer features medium format film photo encaustic artwork documenting 5 years of vacations in Europe. I love Europe. We have been quite a few times, she said. I always feel really inspired to create art after I have returned. She started working on the collection about 3 years ago and picked out photos of coastlines of Italy, France, and Portugal. Her art isn't simply fine art photography. She started experimenting with the encaustic method because she wanted to create work in a hands-on medium instead of just working solely on a computer with her digital photography editing. She says she works with beeswax, tree sap, which acts like a resin, and pigment or oil paint in the encaustic method. She photographs on film, then prints out the photographs and puts them on birch cradle boards or fine art photo paper. Then she uses a hot griddle to heat the wax, which she either paints or pours onto the photograph. She says the wax helps bring focus and attention back to certain parts of the photograph. Then I go through and scrape certain areas, she said. So you'll see some areas are clear and then some parts are foggy, and the texture is all from the wax. It's a photograph, but it has a full layer of wax and texture. After she finishes waxing, she will go back and oil paint details back into the photo, focusing on highlights and shadows. Her husband, Clint, turned the garage into her studio before their daughter, Celeste, was born. Baker said she had to take a break from working with wax while she was pregnant because the wax fumes needed to be ventilated. A lot of people don't even do encaustic art because it's a weird form of painting, she said. It bridges a weird gap because it's not a fine art photograph, but it's not a painting. It's like a kind of a mixed media. Barker said that there aren't tutorials or videos on YouTube teaching photo encaustic. She launched an online course in which she teaches the method. The online course is July 1st through July 15th on her website. She had plans to go back to Italy in June with her family, but their plans were delayed because of the coronavirus. The collection has the essence of summer and relaxation, Barker said. This series isn't super deep. It's just more fun, and especially right now when no one can travel, it has been nice to still work on these pieces. Another daily coronavirus record set by Stuart Doran. The Midland Health Department reported that Midland County has reached 40 confirmed coronavirus cases in a single day for the first time during the pandemic. Wednesday was the third straight day that a single day mark was set, following Friday and Tuesday. On Monday, a new record for a weekend was set with 95. The health department also reported that 172 cases have been reported this week and 365 this month. Also new records. 14 of the 40 cases involved residents in their 20s. That brings the total of 20-somethings who have tested positive for COVID-19 to 152, or more than 30% of the confirmed cases in Midland County. The next highest total is 88 in the 30 to 39 age range, according to the health department. Other information released Wednesday included a rise in the number of those that the Midland Health Department states have recovered, by 5 to 119. The health department also reports the number of residents at home isolating rose to 338, and the number in the hospital increased by 1 to 14. By the numbers, total cases on Monday, 95, Tuesday, 37, Wednesday, 40, total through Wednesday, 494. Numbers by gender, male, 232, female, 262. Numbers by age ranges, from 0 to 19 on Tuesday, 52, Wednesday, 53. Age range 20 to 29, Tuesday, 138, Wednesday, 152. Age ranges 30 to 39, on Tuesday, 79, Wednesday, 88. Age ranges 40 to 49, Tuesday, 51, Wednesday, 58. Age ranges, 50 to 59, Tuesday, 49, Wednesday, 54. Age range, 60 to 69, Tuesday, 34, Wednesday, 37. Age range, 70 to 79, Tuesday, 25, Wednesday, 26. 80 to 80 plus age range on Tuesday, 26, Wednesday, 26. Patient status: home isolation on Tuesday, 326, Wednesday, 338. Recovered Tuesday, 114, Wednesday, 119. Death Tuesday, 13, Wednesday, 14. Hospital Tuesday, 9, Wednesday, 14. Nursing rehab Tuesday, 9, Wednesday, 9. Source of exposure: contact to a known case Tuesday, 235, Wednesday, 246. Community transmission on Tuesday, 129, Wednesday, 149. Travel related Tuesday, 79, Wednesday, 88. Under investigation, none on Tuesday, 11 on Wednesday. Opinion extra: raising teacher salaries is a significant step in improving education. During a budget workshop in May, Midland ISD Superintendent Orlando Riddick made a declaration that teacher pay should start at $60,000 and pay for staff members should begin at $15 an hour. It was arguably his finest moment as the district's superintendent. Riddick took a significant step toward his goal Monday when Midland ISD board members approved the district's 2020-21 budget. Included was a raise for starting teachers from $53,500 to $56,500. What is even more significant about this 5.6% raise for starting teachers is that it is followed last year's 7% raise. So, in a span of 2 years, starting teachers' salary has increased 13%. As trustees were quick to point out Monday, when starting teachers do better, all teachers do better. For the perceived faults of the district, there has been consistency between superintendents and board members in pushing teacher salaries higher. When Ryder Warren came to Midland ISD in 2010, there was considerable pressure to do more for teachers. He said during his time in Midland that he wanted to make teachers feel 100 feet tall. An easy place to start was with the money they earn. The salary for starting teacher in 2010 was $40,000. Warren left 6 years later, having pushed the starting salary to $49,050. Let it also be said that the march to $60,000 and beyond will be the most significant achievement in education in Midland over the last decade and should prove more beneficial for educating students over the long term than any bond issue imaginable. You want to inspire learning? put together the best teaching staff possible. How do we recruit and retain the best teachers? Start with a compensation package that makes teachers feel 100 feet tall and surpasses starting salaries and total compensation packages seen in suburbs across the Metroplex. Can Midland ISD become a destination district for teachers out of college? Whoa, we're not there yet. But if a special group of teachers is recruited and retained, then what has been put into place is a teacher workforce that allows for the type of academic achievement possible. But be careful. Raising teacher salaries will raise the expectations of a community tired of hearing about the number of failing campuses that have plagued Midland ISD for the last decade and wondering if our students are really reaching the levels seen in other communities. The board took a good step this week by backing up their superintendent. We will be hoping for more of this, a district walking in one direction where academic performance and inspirational education meet and lift a community to heights not realized this century. Editor Stuart Doran. Note, because of a mix-up in Lubbock where the paper is printed, this column did not appear in the print edition Wednesday.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 25, 2020. Movies in the Park kicks off Friday. The City of Midland Parks and Recreation Division is launching its annual Movies in the Park series on Friday. Social distancing will be encouraged during the movies, which will begin at dusk. People may bring lawn chairs, according to a press release from the city. The schedule is Friday at Hill Park, Lion King, July 10 at C.J. Kelly Park, Abominable, July 24 at Hogan Park, Toy Story 4, August 7 at Beale Park, Aladdin, August 21 at Windlands Park, Frozen 2. City pools open on alternate days. Doug Russell Pool and Washington Family Aquatic Center are open, but because of staffing and coronavirus limitations, are operating on alternate days. Russell will be open Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Washington will be open Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Both pools will be closed on Mondays for maintenance and training. Entry passes, which are $3, will be sold for 3-hour sessions. They go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before the posted opening times and are good only for the day of purchase. Punch cards will not be sold this year. Because of staffing limitations and coronavirus precautions, there won't be private parties, lap swim times, swimming lessons, or family nights. Pool furniture will be removed from both pools, but swimmers will be allowed to bring chairs. The schedule is Washington, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday and Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. and 5 to 8 p.m. Sunday. Doug Russell, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Library extends curbside service. Midland County Public Library has extended its curbside service at the downtown branch. Hours are now 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Patrons may reserve materials online and will receive an email with instructions for curbside pickup. The branches, which are open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday during coronavirus, will continue reserving the first hour of each day for at-risk patrons, such as those 65 or older and children 5 or younger accompanied by an adult. Groups may not exceed 10 people, and field trip activities are not available. Notary services, passport acceptance, and meeting room reservations are not yet available at either branch, according to a press release from the library. Use of the genealogy department is available by appointment only and may be scheduled by calling 742-7400. Correction. In the June 24 print edition, page 3A was from the wrong date. The Reporter Telegram apologizes for the error. Stuart Doreen, editor. Today in history. Today's Thursday, June 25, the 177th day of 2020. There are 189 days left in the year. On this date, in 1962, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that recitation of a state-sponsored prayer in New York State public schools was unconstitutional. In 1973, former White House counsel John W. Dean began testifying before the Senate Watergate Committee, implicating top administration officials, including President Richard Nixon, as well as himself, in the Watergate scandal and cover-up. In 2009, death claimed Michael Jackson, the King of Pop, in Los Angeles at age 50. 1 year ago, on the 10th anniversary of the death of Michael Jackson, hundreds of his fans gathered at his grave in Glendale, California, for a day-long celebration of his life and music. Today's birthdays. Civil rights activist James Meredith is 87, singer Carly Simon is 75, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor is 66, contemporary Christian musician Sean Kelly, formerly with Sixpence None the Richer, is 49.
Obituaries. Bobby Jean Jumper. Bobby Jean Jumper was born in 1930 in Kokomo, Eastland County, Texas. While in high school in 1947, he met Liddell Frott. The two married on December 23, 1949. Soon after, Jean enlisted in the Army and was deployed to Korea in 1952. He served in the Army for 8 years. He is survived by his loving wife of 70 years, Liddell Jumper, daughter Jan and her husband Jimmy Otho, and their oldest son Casey Otho, and his wife Catherine and their children Berkeley and Jersey, youngest son Michael Otho, and his wife Amy and their children Max, Ben, and Charlie, son Jimmy Lee Jumper and his wife Lucy, and son Stephen and his wife Nicole and their son Rhett, many nieces, nephews, as well as many friends whom he loved and considered his family. He was preceded in death by his parents, two sisters and their husbands, several nephews, and other extended family members. The viewing will be held Thursday, June 25th, 2020, at Bellevue Baptist Church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Funeral services will be held Friday, June 26th, 2020, at Bellevue Baptist Church at 2 p.m., officiated by Pastor Raymond Revilla, Jr. Interment immediately following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that memorials be donated to Bellevue Baptist Church Building Fund, 1710 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79701, or 432-682-9474, or to your favorite charity. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Nailey Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Dorothy Gilland Runnels Clendenin. Dorothy was born on January 27, 1923, to Andrew Hildreth and Sadie Mae Fincher Gilland, and passed away on June 17, 2020. She and Harold Runnels were married in 1943 in Dallas. They lived in Texas and Arkansas before they moved to Levington, New Mexico in 1952, when Harold created Runnels Mud Company. Harold and Dorothy were a dynamic couple, both in building the business and when Harold entered politics in 1959, serving in Santa Fe in the state Senate and later in the U.S. House of Representatives. When Harold died in 1980, Dorothy continued to be involved with community and political life. She loved to travel around the country and around the world, and she continued to fly far and drive many miles each year, even into her 90s. In 1985, she found love again, and in a whirlwind courtship, married Bill Clendenin, who passed away in 1990. Dorothy was preceded in death by her brother Andy, husbands Harold Runnels and Bill Clendenin, and her son Michael. She is survived by Michael's family, Joshua of Durham, North Carolina, and Sean, wife Jennifer, and children Julian and Sasha of Newport Beach, California. Son Philip, wife Sherry of Paris, Texas, and children Tamara, husband Todd, and son Trey of Tucson, Arizona, Amanda, husband Scott, and stepsons Blaze and Cody of Hendersonville, Tennessee, son Matt, wife Judy, and children Zachary, Mariah, and Sina of Silver City, New Mexico, daughter Eddie of Midland, Texas, and children Ben, wife Cassidy of Lincoln, Nebraska, twins Sam and Abby of Denton, Texas, stepdaughter Annette Clendenin of San Antonio, Texas, stepson Dennis Clendenin of Oklahoma, stepson Shane Clendenin of San Angelo, Texas, plus a host of friends and extended family. Dorothy had so many friends and she influenced so many men and women. Memories can be left at her website, and a video of memories of a memorial service can be viewed at https://mykeeper.com/profile/Dorothy Runnels. Because of the COVID-19 virus, a public service at Rest Haven Cemetery in Levington, New Mexico at 10:30 a.m. for Dorothy will be held on Friday, June 26th. Social distancing and masks are encouraged. More information is available at kirbysmithrogers.com. Memorials may be made to the Dorothy Runnels Scholarship Fund at New Mexico Junior College, or to the General Fund or Elevator Fund at the Lee County Museum in Levington. Condolences may be sent to www.kirbysmithrogers.com. Frances Ida Bell Green Smith. Frances Ida Bell Green Smith, 98, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, June 21, 2020, at her home surrounded by her loving family. She was born October 13, 1921, in Syrie, Arkansas, to the late Helen May Purifoy and John Jephthah Green. The oldest of five children, she graduated from Prescott High School in Prescott, Arizona in 1939. She went on to complete 2 years of business courses at State A&M College in Magnolia, Arkansas. Frances married Francis Ross Smith on November 11, 1948. She was a longtime member of St. Paul's UMC. She worked for Farm Bureau Insurance and Bob Midkiff Insurance for many years, but there was no doubt she enjoyed her role as homemaker and caring for her family. Frances is survived by her daughter, Paula Jan Stephen, and husband, Thomas. Three grandchildren, Stephen, Thomas, Stephen, Shelby, Ann Stephen, and Susan Marie Stephen, and numerous beloved nieces, nephews, and great-nieces and nephews. She is preceded in death by her husband, her son John Sidney Smith, parents and sisters Helen Louise Green, Dorothy Maxine Green, Hennessy, Margaret Janet Green Moore, and Johnny May Green Caldwell. The family will receive friends for visitation on Friday, June 26, 2020, from 4 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Funeral services will be Saturday, June 27, 2020, at 10 a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, with Pastor Robert Murphy officiating. Masks are required at all times at Ellis Funeral Home. Intermittent will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. The family would like to express their gratefulness to Meals on Wheels of Midland and Hospice of Midland. Please consider memorial donations to Meals on Wheels of Midland, Christmas in Action of Midland, Samaritan's Purse, St. Paul's UMC, or Hospice of Midland. Precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of His saints. Psalms 116:15. Rita Marie Nutter Wheeler. Rita Marie Nutter Wheeler died on April 18, 2020, in Midland, Texas, at the age of 94. She was born in Girvan, Texas, to Harry Burton Nutter and Sarah Inez Farley Nutter on June 28, 1925. She lived in several towns in West Texas, but spent her high school years and young adulthood in Big Lake, Texas. It was in Big Lake that she met her husband of 66 years, Floyd L. Wheeler, where they married on August 29, 1946. They had two children, son F. Larry Wheeler of Abilene, Texas, and daughter, the late Michelle Wheeler. Rita was preceded in death by her husband Floyd, by her daughter Michelle, by her brothers Clifford B. Nutter, Leighton L. Nutter, Warren O. Nutter, and Nathan Nutter, and by her daughter-in-law, Pamela Wheeler. She is survived by her son, F. Larry Wheeler of Abilene, Texas, one granddaughter, one grandson, three great-grandchildren, by Patricia Wilkerson, sister of Pamela, of Fort Worth, and by numerous nieces, nephews, their children, and spouses. A special thank you to Dr. Gregory Barthen, Dr. James and Miss Sharon Humphreys, Linda Harris, and the doctors, nurses, and staff at the village of Manor Park. Memorials may be made to First Presbyterian Church, 800 West Texas Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701, Grace Presbyterian Church, 2801 North Garfield, Midland, Texas, 79705, The Petroleum Museum, 1500 West Interstate 20, Midland, Texas, 79701, or the Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services, Post Office Box 140888, Austin, Texas, 79714. Arrangements are under the direction of Naily Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelch.com. Wallace Tremaine Howell. Wallace Tremaine Howell's story starts on December 4, 1981, and the oldest child to Wallace and Mary Howell. He was born and raised in Midland, Texas, and attended Lee High School and Midland College. He became a member of Faith Temple, COGIC, at an early age, where the superintendent, W.C. Keenan, is the pastor. He was preceded in death by his maternal grandparents, Herman Wortham and Mary L. Wortham, and his paternal grandparents, L.D. Howell Sr. and Lula May Howell. Tremaine will forever be remembered by his siblings, four brothers, Marcus McMarion, Jeffrey McMarion, Bashar Jordan, Hamel Howell, two sisters, Tammy Howell Cornish, and Patricia McMarion, all residing in Midland. He leaves behind five beloved children who will cherish his memory: Precious Waits, Tremondrius Howell, Tremel Howell, Charmaine Howell, and Trenice Howell, two treasured grandchildren, Kylie Waits and Zimondrius Howell. He is also survived by his fiancée, Catherine Brown, along with countless aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, and nephews who were blessed to know him. Due to the COVID-19 impact, funeral service will be private and limited to immediate family and close friends. Public visitation will be observed for friends, co-workers, and associates Thursday, June 25th, 2020, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, Chapel, 1502 North Lamesa Road, Midland, Texas, 79701. A private graveside service celebrating his life is planned for Friday, June 26, 2020, at 10 a.m., Serenity Memorial Garden, 6800 South State Highway 349, Midland, Texas, 79706. During this time of bereavement, your prayers, words, and deeds, like the memory of our beloved son, brother, and dad, shall always be cherished. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Note: due to COVID-19, we will be practicing social distancing and masks are mandatory. Death notices. Jim Wood Sr. Jim Woods Sr., 69, of Midland, passed away June 23, 2020. The family will receive guests from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday, June 26, 2020, at Naley Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, June 27, 2020, at Ayton Cemetery in Ayton, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Naley Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.